Yo, what is up, ladies and gentlemen? It is your boy, the franchise player, Double B Bad Blood, joined by this dude right here to the right, the man known simply as Throwback. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday, and you know what that means. NXT 2.0. Throwback, what is up, my man?
What's good, man? How you doing? I feel spoiled 3 weeks in a row, dude. I'm ecstatic.
Man, you got me, man. Until you find somebody else, you got your boy.
I'm working on it. I've reached out to the Week of Crazy Pinfalls crew and see who wants to be a part of it. Parrish can't be here tonight. So, I mean, at least I got a champion on there. But, you know, we got a lot to talk about. And I know you want to pick up where I left off when you guys were having your conversation the other day.
Look. We're not going to talk about conversations, okay? Because on the down low, you sent me a message. You said you sweetened the pot. Well, brother, let me tell you something. I'm like the honeycomb bee. I'm dropping all that sweetener. So I sweetened the pot so sweet that the pot is just chilling.
I'll give you a compliment, right? You are the Muhammad Ali of podcasts. I'll say that much. I'll give you that much.
I'm the greatest. No. Hey, man, I'm just here. I'm just happy to be here.
Hey, for me, I look at it this way, and this is because have you ever seen the movie The Fighter?
Yes, I actually have.
That's actually based out of where I'm from. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much the Mickey Ward of the podcasting company, the scrappy guy that comes out of nowhere and stuff. By the way, if you haven't seen The Fighter, you need to see it, and also look up on YouTube the Gotti fights, Ward's Gotti fights. Oh my God,
it's on Netflix actually, guys. Go look up on Netflix right now. So man, what is causing all the drama right now in wrestling world? You know, Bron Breakker, the NXT champion. You know, you got Toxic Attraction, the women's champion, the women's NXT. Are they going to be in the Rumble?
I wouldn't be surprised if they aren't.
I mean, I've heard rumors that Bron Breakker has been backstage at SmackDown. He's been backstage at Raw. Him and Tony D'Angelo. So,
well, I want to talk about that later, about that whole main event freaking aspect of it. But holy moly. Well, first things first, they announced a show on February 15th called Vengeance Day. So that, you know, that they're trying to lean into their IPs a little more than they usually do with a lot of stuff. In the way it's shaping up, it seems interesting, especially this show kind of set up a little few things. But like I said, you know, and you said it just a second ago, I wouldn't be shocked if half like a Toxic Attraction, you got Dakota in there and a few other people from NXT, you know, holding up the Rumble. And I really think this might be the year that in one of the final four, there is somebody from NXT in that pitch, because you want each individual person to be strong. The only other way that will change in the Rumble for the women's, if you have like Bayley in there, Lita, Mickey James, just because she's the Knockouts champion, and then you have Charlotte. But I mean, that's the only way I can see that changing. Now, what's going to happen? Who knows? We also have the Dusty Cup starting in February, so I'm excited about that for the women's side. The men's side kicked off tonight with NXT. So my pick was right. I hate to say it. It was a given, but the match itself was really good. It's one of those matches that I enjoyed when it kicked off.
This, to me, this match was, I mean, the way it opened up was so fucking weird. Like, like MSK is standing in front of the Dusty Cup, and they're like, don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it. That's an old adage in professional wrestling. If you're a challenger for a championship, don't ever touch the championship belt until it is yours. It is like bad juju. It is bad luck, ladies and gentlemen. So they're like looking at it, and they're like, well, the shaman, you know, brother Riddle says, I don't care about that. But when it opened up and they got to the ring, MSK, who was getting booed, like greatly booed over the course of the last like 5 months, are now the biggest, well, the second biggest face team. Mm-hmm. And the first biggest face team, oh my God, these two upstarts, I'm going to tell you, I'm looking for these guys to win the Dusty Club Classic. I'm just talking about Malik.
Yeah.
yeah, and Edris Onofre and Malik Black, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
those two guys, they're so fucking funny. Like the whole thing about, hey man, I'm gonna ask out Mandy Rose. And he's like, what? You ask out Mandy? Yeah, she's got curves and she's got this, this, and this. And I'm like, what? That's the funny. Like they're back and forth banter, so
it's
funny.
Perfect. It's perfect.
And he's like, maybe I'll ask out the rest of Toxic Attraction. He's like,
yeah, geez, maybe you could just. Maybe you just kick that game up a little bit and turn it up to 12. Yeah.
He was like, Jesse has that, you know, that round. And he's like, man, shut your mouth.
I mean, anytime you could get Kushida in a match, any way, shape, or form is amazing. And, you know, I appreciate what he does. I think he's better suited for singles. But right now, with the way the singles, you know, landscape, it's kind of like cramped a little bit. Going from Breaker all the way down.
I will say this. Him and Ikemen Jiro as a tag team, the whole Jacket Time name is stupid.
Yeah.
It's probably the dumbest shit I've ever heard. But them as a team, actually pretty good. I mean, they got over so well. Mm-hmm. And their tag team continuity, off the charts.
Awesome. It's in sync all the time. But I think... For me, I think Kushida is a lot better by himself, but there's a logjam of singles, you know, talent right now. And having him do something, being on the TV screen, is better than being, you know, being doing nothing. So, I mean, hashtag free Ali right there. Sorry about that. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think there should be certain people utilized. And this even goes up to the main roster, too. I mean, as much as I get flack for this, put Ali in NXT for a little bit and let him go ham on everything and just push, you know, somebody like Carmelo Hayes a little bit higher and make it a lot more stronger.
So, okay, I'll say Carmelo Hayes is the NXT North American champion. I kind of like that. And I think that him and Trick Williams, they play off each other very well.
Yeah, they do.
You know, and like they're a major focal point of this new NXT. But the match that we saw tonight between MSK and Jacket Time, I'm telling you, that right there was reminiscent of Gargano and Ciampa versus Red Dragon, or Gargano and Ciampa versus anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that match was so smooth.
Them versus so it, well, now it was the Revival at that point, but FTR. Yes, I mean, that's what it reminded me of mostly. I mean, if the brackets weren't set up the way they think, I think most likely we would have a rematch of last year. But the way it seems like it, and how they want to bring up younger talent in there, I mean, we'll talk about the other match in a second, but the way the bracket's setting up, I really do think it's going to be the Creed Brothers and MSK at the end. Now, the question is, who's going to eat the pin and who's what's going to win? We'll get to that. Probably, I think they're going to crown it at Vengeance Day, I believe.
Vengeance Day is when the finals are going to happen. But
yeah,
MSK, for sure. I think the MSK is going to have a very... Like, this match that they had tonight was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Onofre Black team versus MSK next week... It's going to be next week to have that match, right?
Yeah.
That match is going to steal the show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm not the biggest MSK fan. When they were the Radicals, whatever they call it, I wasn't a fan of them then. But they, I mean, and I think it's just their personalities that kind of rub me the wrong way. But their technical ability in the ring is top notch. And I do think that we're going to have a new Dusty Cup winner. And it's going to be someone you don't even expect.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the Creed Brothers, even though you don't expect them because they're facing somebody. I don't want to say the names because I will talk about it, but I don't want to spoil that. It's just I really think that if they put anybody over, it's going to be the Creed Brothers more so. But only time will tell. But that match was really good. I mean, you know, it was going back and forth. It was really physical. There was something where it was supposed to be a move where it was going to go over the top, but one of the guys from MSK literally just didn't get over the buckle, and it looked like
Wesley didn't get over the buckle in time.
Yeah, and I was just like that was on TV, and I had with the show overall, there were some, as you know, you do with stuff with cameras and stuff. I had some issues with the camera setup in one of the matches too. So I want to point that out later, but it's just, it literally is insane how great this match was. And I'm looking forward to seeing, and I'll call it the shot. I think it's going to be MSK and the Creed Brothers. And I really want to see a physical team against someone that, but MSK feels like their personality wise in NXT is more like a kinship to Riddle kind of personality, where it obviously it worked out with Riddle coming down for a one-off, but it just feels like that mellow aspect, that laid back kind of feel, California surfing kind of thing. So I'm going to say this now, and I'll call this, don't expect this to happen, but I kind of hope it does, kind of idea, that Cara Jade ends up being with MSK, because Cara Jade has that
aspect. She fits her mold.
Yes, it kind of that surfer skater girl kind of thing, and they're both basically the same. So I wouldn't be surprised is that it's like kind of like what Test Albert and Trish Stratus, where they had Trish wrestling periodically, but it would be great to see something like that in NXT. Just it kind of like, pardon the pun with the name right there, throwback to like, you know, the old days where it came out from the Attitude Era. You had, you know, Prince Albert, Test, and Trish. That would make sense.
It does make a lot of sense to me, quite honestly. I see them as like a little group. And we all know NXT right now, it's just like AEW. It's all cliques, all factions. If you're not part of a clique or a faction, then you're pretty much assed out. And that kind of like goes to like the situation that happened right afterwards. So as MSK is, as MSK is excited, they won their match, they're fucking in the crowd, they're getting all the flowers, you know, it's going over. Then all of a sudden, Legado del Fantasma comes out. Like they just walk past each other in the aisleway. That has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it does to me, it takes the shine off of the guys who just won their match. And you just bury them by bringing out someone else right away.
It's the casual fan. It doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah,
I watch NXT on a regular basis. But the thing is that if I was a casual fan and I saw the people who won the match and people walking in, I'd be like, okay, so these guys just won. Who are these guys and what's going on here?
Yeah, like, why is this
There's
happening?
There's no relation to it. Like, you know, MSK wasn't trash talking to them, to Legado del Fantasma. So, I mean, I seriously think that, you know, Legado del Fantasma and MSK are going to go back into it again and just, you know, they might cost them the Dusty Cup. I wouldn't be shocked about that.
I think so. Shout out to my boy Tony DeBurns, who is the producer extraordinaire. He's the man, the myth, and the legend. He's the man behind the video. He's the man that makes all this shit work right. As a matter of fact, right now, he's doing some maintenance here. So, like he says here, don't mind me, just doing a little maintenance. Shout out to Tony.
So I had to. Anytime I hear Tony, I think of this with Tony.
Yeah, forget about it. So Legado del Fantasma comes out, and they're in the middle of the ring, and they just start going off on the fact that Bron Breakker and what's his name? I can't think of his name right now. The leader of Legado
del Fantasma. Santos Escobar.
Santos Escobar is in the middle of the ring, and he's like, you know, I could take the low-hanging fruit, and I can make fun of your uncle and your dad and their mathematics skills, you know. We should get Shane Husky on the show. Shane is our moderator guy. Shane needs to pull up all the rightful information. So, Shane, if you are in the house, which I see right here, if you want to jump on, my friend, the door is always open. You know how to get in. So
it's like Wicked Crazy Pinfall. Everybody's welcome in there.
Exactly. So he's in the middle of the ring, and he's talking about, you know, your uncle and your dad and, you know, Steiner mathematics and all that other stuff. It was just funny because he says, I can do that, but I'm not going to do that. You just did that.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, he literally swore in Spanish and just was like, you know, Escobar was just like startled, like a fake startle where he already knew that was probably going to happen. Mm-hmm. This for me didn't make any sense. You're not pushing the narrative at all. You might push the narrative more next week, but to be honest, Breaker and, you know, Escobar will be a great match. It's going to probably have it happen at Vengeance, but for right now, you're not pushing anybody to be like invested into it. He's just saying, oh, it's on my time. It's on my time. I can beat you whenever on my time.
And then the champ
comes and Breaker's like, come on, let's go. Let's do this. Like,
he's so blue collar.
Yeah.
Like he's wearing some jeans and a tank top. He comes in, he's like, yo, man. You know, and he's like, Kayate. I was like, okay, so Bron Breakker is throwing some Spanish out here. Good job. He's like, Kayate.
Sorry. I have to laugh and cough at the same time. But I can't help it. I mean, like,
exactly.
You say one line and all of a sudden he's just like, it's almost like he expected the delivery, but not in that tone. And the whole promo itself, I get it. You're trying to, like you were explaining with Parrish and with me last week, is that you're supposed to push the narrative, talk about why you're good, but then also say why you're going to beat them and all that stuff, depending on when. But there's no incentive for anybody who wants to watch this. Like, let these guys just talk off the cuff. They mentioned about their families. Braun mentioned about both of their families, mm-hmm. how, you know, they're well known with each other. But the point is just, you know, let them go. Let them, instead of, oh, it's on my time. What is this? John Cena be like, my time is up. My time is now. I mean, come on now. Just, it's NXT. Let's have some fun. Let these guys go.
And, you know, let them go. Let them wrestle. That's what made NXT so popular back in the day. They didn't do 500 promos. Back to back to back to back to back to back to back. No, it was wrestling. Let them wrestle. Just let them go. Like 2.0 would be a lot better if it was 1.0 and you just let them fucking go. But
I think this week, after having a good show last week, this took a little bit of a step back. Most of the great matches in the tonight was like with the tag team matches and certain things, but certain promos they did set up for the following week. But for me, it felt like last week was a great show. And like you said, it was a really good show because it made you want to go back to watch mm-hmm. NXT. And now for some casual fans, it kind of just, when they got interested, now this kind of turned them off a little bit. Now, I look at this as like, okay, so I'm a hardcore fan. But I also look at it from a casual aspect on it. I've always been raised to look at all sides of the coin, look at every angle, be very observant, hell, sometimes analytical. But the thing is that it works out in my favor because I can see, well, if I was the casual fan, do I really want to watch the next episode of NXT? Because it was promo heavy, they were talking too much, and there was not enough action. Or do I want to watch the week before where there was a ton of action and then literally not much talk?
And that's where they have to get a balance. There has to be a balance. Everything in life is balanced. You know, a yin and yang has a balance in the middle. It has to be balanced. And Pritchard and the rest of the guys that are booking the show now don't understand that. Triple H and his guys, the whole Triple H regime, they understood that. They knew we got 1 hour of TV. We got 2 hours of TV. So in that 2 hours of TV, let's do 15 minutes combined of promo work and an hour and 45 minutes of actual in-ring work. This show, they had a concert in the middle of the fucking show. Mm-hmm. That's their way of getting the young people back in. Then they had a segment where someone was working out. Then they had a segment where they put over Walter changing his name to Gunther.
I will talk about that.
But I fucking hate that shit. But they put that over, and then they put over the Wendy Chu and the billionaire princess chick. Then they put over the billionaire princess chick in the beginning, Then they put over the same person that was working out in a previously recorded video of them talking to someone about being challenged. Like, then they do a Zoe Starks and Io Shirai. And like, dude, all of these little promo videos could have been done in like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But I will say this much. One major thing to me that might have shifted everything, and I want to get to that a little later because of how intertwines with a match, kind of, that for me was more interesting tonight because of how much of a joke or how much flack this person gets, and now it's completely changed. So we'll get to it in a sec. I want to keep that, you know, a little bit off, but you know, it's fun to see like how certain parts of it, the show was more talk, but there was a lot of good wrestling in it also. I mean, yeah, the match, we'll get to that. Why don't we jump to Io's match, because you mentioned Io, but the thing is that for me, I already knew the outcome. It's like when you already know the outcome before the match starts. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, why am I going to waste time watching the match when you already know Io is going to win regardless? The other person's pretty much getting buried and not putting over. So it's like you're putting that person in segments in there just to get them seen. And that's understandable. But you need to have people invested into these characters. Why do you think so many people are invested in Io? You know, so many invested in certain things. It's just, you want to build stars. Well, you just buried somebody that's completely green. Now, this girl, I think her name's Tiffany right now.
Yeah, Tiffany Stratton. Wait, before you go to that, let me do this. Let's go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with more of the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast, NXT 2.0 with Throwback. Want to get your hair cut? You go get your hair cut right. You head down to Big D's Barbershop. Big D's Barbershop, Vancouver, Washington's best and brightest. 1019 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington, where you can go get your hair lined up, cuts, fades, shampoos, conditions, and all the great things that go with supporting a local barbershop in a local business area. You can also reach them online at www.bigdsbarbershop.com. Go get your haircut right.
These are more than just the sounds of a safe place to go after school. These are the sounds of interest being ignited and of mentors making an impact. At Boys and Girls Clubs, we don't do just one thing. We do whatever it takes to meet the needs of every kid who comes through those doors. Because whatever it takes is what it takes to build great futures. Great futures start here.
We're back. Look who.
Whoa.
Hello. It's not even Wednesday.
I am completely shocked. I thought literally, you know, Shane was going to pop in, but I thought Parrish was going to pop in. But our ghost Parrish isn't. What's up, Shane? How you doing?
I am doing pretty good. I streamed on Twitch earlier today. I was playing Uncharted on Crushing Difficulty. Man, that is stressful. I kept dying every time.
Well, Shane, I'm going to say this much before we get into the rest of the stuff. And Shane, you're awesome. And BB's always amazing. But we still have somebody this weekend that needs to make a decision for, you know, the 5-on-5 warfare. So hopefully I can get that squared away by Saturday. We're supposed to get at least 2 feet of snow here on Saturday. So I might be doing,
sucks to
see
be
if
you.
I can do, Yeah, I gotta shuffle it. But I might end up seeing if I can hop on the watch along or try to do the post show on it, since 2 feet of snow, you know, there's not much you can do.
And what he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, he's talking about the 2022 WWE Royal Rumble. But the
box, the premium live event.
I'm sorry, the premium live event. But your boys, the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast crew, we're going to be doing a live watch along. You know, when we do live watch alongs, weird shit happens.
Oh, yeah.
Real shit. But on that watch along,
is going to win the Royal Rumble.
On that watch along, your boy, the franchise, the reigning, defending, the undeniable predictions champion, is taking on his dear friend and co-host, one Mr. Chemical Julian, the mixologist of professional wrestling. And ladies and gentlemen, every time I take on Julian, you can say I'm like Kenny Omega, because I just clean shit up, because I am the winner every time.
He almost won it. With the Mad Cat.
Hey. He did not almost win.
he was
Mad Cat Moss was his go-to goat. Was the he goat.
It for was.
Him. And Mad Cat Moss was the joke for him.
Well, one of these days, especially where I open my mouth and I have a bet going on for the till Mania, let's just, and I'll start getting everything squared away with that. If I have a shot, I'll take it, because obviously with this bad boy over here, I can't participate in anything because I am the proprietor and distributor of that.
You need to stop dangling the carrot. Here's the deal. Your Wiki Crazy Podcast boys are scared to face the franchise. We've been trying to do predictions warfare all this time.
I sat
down with SP3. I sat down.
I popped it. I was trying to pop in before you the SP3 thing.
You were there. You saw it. I sat down with SP3 from True Hill Heat. I sat down with my boy Cam from the Call Up Podcast. We sat down. We did our own predictions. And then last night, I sat down with Julian. And I sat down with Shane. And we discussed when we were going to put together the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast predictions event, the premium live event.
Premium live
Friday. Event. Ladies and gentlemen, Friday after the AEW Rampage and WWE SmackDown review, it will go live. Your boys with the predictions warfare. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody need to help Julian.
Let's just say this much.
Oh my God, JB Moonshine is in the chat.
Wait. JB Moonshine. JB Moonshine, let me tell you something, you jerk. You want to say because the franchise is the cheater of all time? This Sunday, live at BCW Worldwide, presents the Big Payback live on pay-per-view.
Payback.
You have an opportunity, JB Moonshine, because obviously you can't beat Gregor Petrov, but you have an opportunity to challenge the great and powerful Cosmo, the BCW No Limits champion, for his championship. And I guarantee you this, JB. You can bring all your moonshine. You can bring all your crack. You can bring your loose mountain women. Wherever you want to bring. Cosmo is going to take that size 15, shove it down your throat, and walk away the champion. Just damn. Like I'm going to walk away with that nice little belt you got there, throwback. Show it to the fans one more time. Show it to the fans one more time. Just show
why don't you talk about the other belt?
Well, we're gonna get by. We'll get to that.
No, I figured Shane wanted to pop up and ask 100 different questions about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I showed them on the podcast though.
I know. I listened in on it.
It's a beautiful belt. Shout out to Throwback for mentioning the fact that BCW Worldwide needed their own sexy belt.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to get us that sexy title. Let us know. Where. Let us know where.
Loose.
That's right. Loose Mountain Women.
Man, that should be the hashtag.
And now the show went off the rails. Can we get back to NXT for a little bit? We'll talk about a lot of that stuff.
Every time when I pop on the show goes off the rail real quickly.
Oh, the last 2 weeks have, and it's been fun, but we also have to keep an eye on everything else too.
So let's get back to the NXT review.
Yeah.
So after the whole Braun Breaker thing, we get to another match. Let's talk about it. Shane, the man in the chair. Let's talk about this, the next match on the card. We already talked about, it's Tiffany Stratton that we were talking about.
Yeah. Right.
So I gotta admit, Tiffany Stratton, she is
She's the current Aaliyah of 2.0.
I was trying to think, so she's
like winning matches like very quickly. Is that what it is?
No, she's not winning matches. That's the thing.
Leah first started, she wasn't winning any matches, and then eventually, you know, they were helping her out. So
okay.
I think it, like I said, that match with Io was kind of like, you know, very predictable. It wasn't really, you know, anything to spare there. I mean, it didn't set up anything too. Like, it's great to have Io on TV, but where is this going to go? That's the whole premise of NXT, the original, because it always sets something up for a bigger payday later
right.
on.
Well, look, let's do this. I do think that she has a very good character. People bash it online. You know, she's more of that Cher from Clueless.
Yeah, that's what I was picking up right off the bat.
You know, the whole daddy, you know, we never see daddy. I want to know who the fuck daddy is.
She's a typical, like, spoiled little brat rich kid that doesn't get what she wants.
She does the whole spoiled rich kid gimmick.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. NXT 2.0 wrestlers probably make what? $25,000 a year?
I wish I made $25,000 on that.
Right.
That's McDonald's. Well, McDonald's people at McDonald's make more, but I'm just saying.
Oh, well, say, I thought you not a year. I thought you were saying in one a month. I wish.
Oh well, yeah. So let's say $25,000 a year. Okay, let's just call it that. Let's say that to, you know, just make it worthwhile. So $25,000 a year. Do you think if her daddy was rich, if she was like a spoiled rich kid, that she would want to come work in the WWE at NXT 2.0 making that type of money?
No.
So the whole gimmick of her being a spoiled rich kid.
She should really be saying, I want to be on the main roster type of thing. If that's the case.
They set these people up just to fail right off the bat in NXT. And they pray to God, like, if they keep pounding the same thing over and over again, people will like it. And this one, the character's there, the work inside the ring's not.
Right.
Well, I do think that her work inside the ring will improve because she had a really decent match with Io Shirai. I mean, right at the gate, some of the reversals and the transitions that they were going through were actually pretty decent. They were really smooth.
Yeah. But so, for me, it's like the match itself was okay. You know, but for, you know, there was no, you know, what's going next into it. But who knows? It's NXT.
Yeah.
That's true. There's no storyline in those matches. No. Io Shirai. But the best part, I guess what was going on here was Io Shirai and Zoe Starks talking about tag team partners
for the Dusty
Cup Classic. This is another one of those promos that made no fucking sense. So she's talking about, hey, you know, I'm not going to be able to be in the Dusty Cup Classic because of my knee. But, you know, maybe there might be some other partners out there. And, okay. I say this about the WWE all the time. Vince thinks you're stupid.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But we all know Io Shirai speaks very great English.
Yes.
But because she's of Asian culture, they just expect you to believe that all she does is speak Japanese.
Are we going back to what we talked about last week, how they're very insensitive culturally to certain
aspects?
Yes.
At one point, she was talking to Io Shirai, and Zoe started saying something, and she was like, wait, you like me? And Io Shirai went out of character for a second and said, wait, no, I didn't say that. I mean, right? Like, she clearly said, "No, I didn't say that.
I didn't say that."
But they want you to believe that she doesn't speak any English.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so tired of the stereotype. It drives me crazy.
And it's really old, and I'm surprised they haven't learned from this, like, over years in the business.
I will literally go over and say this much, and I'll probably be on the island. Hell, I'll probably be the one who just gets yelled at for saying this, but it's me. Why not? They're very unculturally social, unsensitive to the world. They sometimes in WWE will hit that button and it will hit like a home run, like Sasha and Bianca. And then all of a sudden, it'll be like a wiffle ball game where you're just constantly whiffing against the pitch. And right now in NXT and also in WWE, they're so culturally inept that they're looking at, oh, because this person's this. Well, I'll use myself because throwback's Irish. He must be a drunk. So why don't we make a drunk character and make him be like that? It's insensitive to certain aspects on it. It's like saying, you know, Shane is got dark hair or brown hair. And well, because he has that, let's make him bald because the fact that it'll probably make him popular or, you know, just it certain aspects of society, they're completely blind to it. And it's, you know, it's going to hurt them because eventually all these, you know, people that are coming out of the woodwork, you know, for like the Me Toos and stuff like that. And not saying that's a bad thing. People have the right to speak their minds and stuff, but like
people
who are very sensitive to their own cultures and stuff like that and very prideful, they're going to stand up for this. And eventually, like, you know, Saraya, I was thinking about this the other day, that she basically portrayed an anime character and stuff kinda like that. Kind
of like a Sailor Moon type of thing.
Yeah, and that's in that, and a lot of anime, a lot of people don't know, is very socially insensitive to a lot
yes,
of
it is.
The Japanese versions, but not the English dubs.
I wonder if that's where they get it from, is anime.
Yeah, and a lot of these writers they have are like in their 20s. Who grew up watching, like, I love Dragon Ball. Trust me, I get it.
Hey, Dragon Ball,
I know the original. And my logo is based on, might be loosely based off of it. But at the end, they have no sense of social pulse. It's very, very sad that this is the way it is. Hell, you have the Ultimate Warrior that was supposed to be like some indigenous freaking battler or something like that. You know, you had, you know, Andre the Giant. You know, he should have just been Andre, not the Giant. You know, it's just you're pointing people's faults instead of being positive. Especially with that whole bully initiative, God, they literally botched, or if they botched the whole thing doing what they're doing now.
What, the be a star? The be a star movement? Yeah,
just like when Lana was in the bully storyline of Nia. Yeah,
I mean,
terrible.
Here, in a nutshell, here's the thing: they really need to stop doing these really racial insensitive like storylines because they think that people like that stuff. No one likes it. You know what it is? You got the average wrestling fan that's watching NXT right now is in their 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Their 60s, and then you're like trying to do all this hip, cool stuff, and it's like you're doing it. You got like 40, 45, 50-year-old men writing this story that aren't hip to like what's going on in 2022. They're trying to recapture the Attitude Era.
Right.
And it's not going to work. It's not going to work any way, shape, or form. People don't want to see that shit anymore. So when they do these storylines, people are really going to, it's turning people off. So young people don't even watch the show anymore.
I mean,
like me.
Like, and I'll be very honest, the one match that was really good, kind of culturally insensitive, was Boa and Cicada. Oh, that was a freaking crazy match. But the undertones on that stuff, you're using people's, you know, cultural aspects to point out, hey, this guy is a fighter, and one of the Lions commentary said that he was kicked out when he was 14. And I'm thinking, isn't he part of the bloodline? You know, all of them never got kicked out of their houses. All of them were like, you know, taken care of, right? You know,
but they want you to believe that he's a savage from the island of Samoa. He lives on the streets and he fights on the streets and all this other stuff like that.
That's like the look, same.
Real shoot, the guy lives in Sacramento, California. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, from the mean streets of Sacramento, California. I mean, come on. But neither here nor there. I don't want to ruin their story and gimmicks because that's the way they think that people.
Tim is in the chat.
That people want to. Oh, hey, Tim Simmons. They want people to believe that this is what the WWE is going to be in, you know, 2027, 2028. These new stars that they're building. Like, there might not be a WWE in 2027, 2028 if they don't stop this crap. They might get canceled. Who knows?
If, right. If they're not very careful of, you know, doing it, because eventually what will happen is just somebody will, you know, go to Congress or something like that and be like, hey, you know, they're breaking certain laws and nobody's picking it up right now.
No.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it is what it is. They're losing viewership because of these stupid
storylines. They're at like, 588,000 viewers right now?
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that is pretty
GCW really bad. Over the weekend had more people. As a matter of fact, Zicky Dice had well over 500,000 people watching his stream on Twitch when he did his show last weekend. That's more people that are watching. That's more people that are watching NXT.
Yeah. Pretty bad. But Twitch stream is better than NXT. That's crazy.
It's still like people like me that love NXT and enjoy it, so we'll stick around. And
right.
But I'm very, very like tuned out to all this stuff. Like Boa wearing makeup. That's culturally appropriate to him, but
what's her name's giving, but now she's like sleeping all the time and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wendy Chu is so awesome. That thing for me is so over.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, I gotta tell you, the Wendy Chu thing for me, one of the best parts of the night. For the simple fact that like she's just chilling in her pajamas and her little fucking thing, right? And Tiffany Stratton walks up to her and she's like, ugh. Daddy, there's some weirdos in here. And she said, it's okay. Everyone loses to Io Shirai. And she slaps the fucking bottle out of her hand.
Oh my God.
And she just looks at it like, oh, rude. And she walks away.
That whole character, did you realize, at first, I thought it was a fan just sleeping on a chair. Just like that.
To me, really when that whole promo happened to it, it might set up a little small match, a little short 5 to 10 minute match next week where it just gets Wendy Chu in front of people and showing instead of being a character that she actually can do what she did in that three-way tag, but just by herself.
Yeah, I predict this since I'm the king of predictions around this place. Wendy Chu is going to be Io Shirai's tag team partner.
Oh my God. I'm really all in for that.
And if they are partners, I'm here for it. Man. I will be here special guest every Tuesday night. That a women's Dusty Classic match is going on if Wendy Chu is teamed with Io Shirai.
And the thing is that I would absolutely love this. Shane, you're awesome, but I would love to have the Bad Blood and the Parish and literally the tag team champion up in Canada on the same show again and just all three of us run rickshaw. The person that doesn't know how it hurts to take a bump compared to two pro wrestlers, yeah, I'll take that. Hell, I even said it on air last week. I will pay these two guys in a ring to go at it. Where's Chaotic Wrestling on this stuff? I mean, you guys need to get on this shit right now.
Shouting them over there. Like, you guys gotta get on that, okay? Okay.
Apparently, I've been locked out of my account. Someone has tried to hack my Twitter account.
What's up?
Again.
Is it Julian?
He's over here trying to get my predictions for Sunday. Yeah, for Saturday.
So the six woman tag match was decent. Okay. The way they set this up is, you know, Kaylee Ray with the bat and everything, you know, she was egging Mandy on. Mandy was playing that chicken heel shit kind of thing where she always does, where she's like, oh, I don't want to face Kaylee Ray. We're going to get Kaylee Ray versus Mandy at Vengeance. And I really, really hope, as much as people love having Mandy Rose on the TV, I think it's time to give Kaylee Ray
the
proper due that she deserves. Because even Wade Barrett said she will be the forever champion of the NXT UK brand. Rightfully so. But I think her time is now for the NXT title.
Yeah.
The women's title.
I love Kaylee Ray. I think she is phenomenal in the ring. Like, there's nothing she can't do. Her story is so over. Like, she is such a great worker. I do think that the whole bringing up the NXT UK title constantly, Wade Barrett constantly putting that out there, why would you do that? Because I consider the NXT UK title like a failure compared to where she's at now.
I think he does it more so for...
Even mention NXT UK at all, they're in the safe place. Just be quiet.
I think he more so is just trying to build up her historical aspect of it, because she was in the company at that time, besides Walter, the longest running champion. Yeah, they had a gap because they shut down for COVID. But at that point, she was literally like the longest running women's champion of all time in that company. So I think for him, in commentary, they want to point out the historical aspect of it, saying this is how good she is. She held a title this long. And I get it. You want to point out people who don't, like we were talking about casual fans franchise, is that people who haven't seen the UK product, there's very few people that pay attention to it.
I like to see clips of it here and there on that, YouTube.
Yeah, there's very few people that pay attention to it. Just like they don't know who she is, so you're building up her past accolades to get them into her as a character, as a performer. The ring work's amazing, but her, like the casual fans that are watching NXT now compared to the original, would literally do it. Don't be shocked this time next year, we get Kaylee Ray versus Charlotte at some pay-per-view at some point.
I'm looking for Kaylee Ray to be in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, honestly, that's where I think that's going to be set up.
There's like, there's like seven free spots left in the Women's Royal Rumble, so she could be in that spot.
So, before we go any further, let's go to a quick commercial break. I got a hot take for you guys about Kaylee Ray. And I want to make sure before I say it that it's completely accurate. So, let's go to another commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with more of the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Want to get your hair cut? You go get your hair cut right. You head down to Big D's Barbershop. Big D's Barbershop, Vancouver, Washington's best and brightest. 1019 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington, where you can go get your hair lined up, cuts, fades, shampoos, conditions, and all the great things that go with supporting a local barbershop in a local business area. You can also reach them online at www.bigdsbarbershop.com. Go get your haircut right.
These are more than just the sounds of a safe place to go after school. These are the sounds of interest being ignited and of mentors making an impact. At Boys and Girls Clubs, we don't do just one thing. We do whatever it takes to meet the needs of every kid who comes through those doors. Because whatever it takes is what it takes to build great futures. Great futures start here.
Is it just me, or does that commercial seem to go faster and faster every time we play it?
Faster and faster.
Man, oh man. Okay, so the question, what I was going to say about that was this. I really do think that the story with Kaylee Ray and Mandy Rose, it needs to end quick, because she's gotten, she signed a contract with WWE for X amount of years with NXT. But when I was looking up, it was, she's been actually spotted backstage at a couple of the main event shows in 205 Live. Now, I know 205 Live is part of the NXT brand, but main event is part of the Raw brand, isn't it?
Main roster, yeah.
Yeah.
So she's been spotted on the Raw brand on the main event shows. So she's been backstage at the main event shows, I should say. So I can see her going to the main roster right away. I don't think that the whole Mandy Rose thing with her is going to be a long story thing. They just put the belt on Mandy. So for them to take the belt off Mandy right away would be a waste of time. So putting her in a feud with Mandy is kind of a waste of time, in my opinion. Same thing.
Yeah.
You're going to move her right back up. It's like the whole
problem. But the thing is that they've done this before with Kane.
Exactly.
Kane won the title at Hell in a Cell and lost it to Austin the next night.
One day, and he hold that title.
Look at Zack Ryder. He won the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, lost it the next night.
Can we not mention that Zack Ryder was done dirty? Now he's doing amazing thing.
You know it.
In GCW, which I saw what happened.
Yeah.
I know Rick Callahan was at the JCW show that happened up in Michigan, and you're showing pictures, and obviously you saw BB that they threw a chair at Sabu and he was getting two rows away from
him. I heard exactly. Made a and I forget Brian Myers came in and wearing the same motorcycle outfit that Edge did when he speared Cena at One Night Stand, that's pretty awesome.
Tim asked about what we thought about the NXT champion, Bron Breakker, and I think that's a wait and see answer, because we have to see how he develops over time. They're probably going to keep the belt on him.
Should have been Rex Steiner.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not. So, yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, we here at Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast, we're here at the Crazy Wiki Podcast, we're here at
BodySlam.net.
We want you to know that we like to provide some of the very great, some of the very top wrestling news and all the things in sports entertainment, from MMA to pro wrestling. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, you can donate to BodySlam.net to help keep this website going.
Yeah.
It's real simple. If you want to help us continue to bring you a wide an entertaining variety of pro wrestling and MMA related content, you can do that simply by going to
where?
www.slamchats.com.
Say that one more time.
Is www.slamchats.com. Become slamtastic.
Slamtastic.
Show you around.
Yeah.
And back to your normally back to your normal scrolling, ladies and gentlemen.
So let's just end this trip threat. It set up a tag match between Toxic Attraction, Indy Hartwell, and her partner. So this is gonna set up towards them getting into the women's Dusty Cup, but I think they'll meet at Vengeance before that anyway. So
do you think we'll that Persia Pereira, since her and
Indy
Hartwell, I'm sorry, what is her husband's name now?
Dexter Loomis.
Dexter Loomis?
Yeah, she's married to Dexter Loomis. So
Indy okay. Loomis. The they're still going least, with yeah. that.
Indy yeah. Loomis.
Sounds like because literally, like they'll literally show the ring on there and stuff.
She kisses the ring every time. So Indy Loomis and Persia Pereira pinned the tag team champions during the 6-man tag team match, where the champion Mandy Rose ran away from the ring and was chased by Kaylee Ray with the bat.
Oh wow!
So should have been a count out, disqualification, whatever, whatnot, because they were the two legal people in the ring. Doesn't matter.
She was taking notes from Sting and just think so of like, hey, grab a bag.
The new champ, the new champs have already been beaten. And this is one thing I don't like about NXT. You don't beat the champions. You don't pin the champions clean. Never.
Was that like the first time NXT ever done that? To pin the champion like clean, clean?
Well, how about this? How about this? I'm going to give you a little bit of NXT, NXT history.
History.
There have been six NXT North American champions.
Yes.
The only one of those North American champions that have had a successful title defense. Are you ready for it? He's not even in the company anymore. Johnny Gargano. Yep. The only one
twice.
To have a successful... Twice! Yes. You know, he's the only one that's had successful title defenses. What's his name?
Keith Lee. Carmelo? I'll give you this much. Keith Lee had, for me, a very successful title run with that North American title. Probably right there. But, I mean, and that led up to the double championship. But I literally think him and Gargano are, like, up there in the North American title history.
Yeah, but, like, you got to look at it. These are guys that were North American champion that never defend the belt.
No.
Like, it's almost as bad as Shinsuke Nakamura, the Intercontinental Champion right now. Like, Veer Mahan will debut on Raw, have 10 matches on Raw, win his first championship on Raw before an Intercontinental title defense.
Yeah. Or he'll... No, wait. He'll be on Raw, not SmackDown. I was going to say...
So that's how ridiculous it is.
Well, the point I made about that... The whole thing with Veer is going to be ending soon. Great.
Yeah, thank God.
He's ready. He's ready to bait.
The point I'm making is you don't pin the champions on TV. Ever. I mean, you want to pin your champions, you want to do a knockout pin, do it on a freaking house show. Do it on the Key Largo Loop.
Yeah.
You know? But now you're discrediting your champions. So now, why would I want to spend money to watch, to go, if I'm there, why would I want to spend money to go to a show so I can watch these champions that you're supposed to be like the top, they're supposed to be the top of the tier, the top people. But they've been getting beat so much. Why would I pay to see these guys wrestle? The one thing I like about AEW is that anyone can win a match at any given time. You can never sit back and predict an AEW match.
WWE, it's so simple sometimes.
Yeah, like, there will be times when you think that AEW superstar is going to win, but it curves.
Just when you think you know the answer, they change the question. WWE, it's the same question and the same answer.
It all depends, right? It depends on who the star is in that whole thing, in the whole quartet. Like, I'll give you an example is that Braun Strowman versus The Fiend for the Universal title, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Roman comes out of nowhere. But now, you knew the tagline was good, what it might be, but you didn't know if it was Roman, if it was somebody else or anything like that. And then Roman pops up and the world, everybody goes crazy. I mean,
yep.
We'll see.
And that's the thing about the Royal Rumble too. That right there to me, the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania were the biggest shows of the year.
Why?
Because WrestleMania is like the Super Bowl of professional wrestling.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally, Vince McMahon has outdone himself. That is the Super Bowl of professional wrestling.
The only pay-per-view where it has a stage design.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where it's like a big fight feel.
That's where they save all their money from, is the stage for WrestleMania. Yeah,
sure. That's where they save all their money from.
They say.
Those Saudi shows? No, that's WrestleMania right there.
Someone said, I was listening to that, somebody said was that the Saudi shows outmake
So here's the thing. WrestleNomics, you can go find them on Twitter. I'll give them credit for this. They basically said that one Saudi show, Crown Jewel, pulled in for the WWE more money than all of the WrestleManias combined. Merch. We're talking pay-per-view. I'm sorry, premium live event sales. Souvenirs. We're talking food. Everything. We're talking like those stupid travel packages that they sell you. All the money that they made on all those WrestleManias combined was still less than that one Saudi show.
That's crazy.
But, you know, budget cuts. Anyway.
Budget cuts.
Sleep is our competition.
Exactly. Yeah. Sleep is our competition. Unless you're on a runway in Iraq and you're stuck.
So I want to get into this one quick because it was just, there was a squash match going on and stuff like that. I think it was Hudson and stuff, and he just killed
Duke
the guy.
Hudson versus, I can't think of his name. He's the guy that was making that tag team match last week.
Yeah. So that was just like real quick. And then Von Wagner comes out and just destroys him. And then this is why I got excited about this. I think this is going to be the turning point for NXT, is Von Wagner is now part of the Robert Stone brand. And the reason being is a lot of people were saying, that he's not that great on the mic. So having Robert Stone there will help push him forward. It's kind of like he will be Malcolm Bivens to what Diamond Mind is.
The only difference is Malcolm Bivens is funny.
Malcolm Bivens
is like, not only is he funny on the mic, but his Twitter game, do not add him on Twitter. I'll put you that way. He will smash you into a billion little pieces on Twitter and tell you, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. That is how good he is. Okay? I watch his tweets, and I'm like, man, I ain't going to fuck with him on Twitter. He is that good.
No.
But Robert Stone, does not have the personality to get over Von Wagner. So you're putting two guys together, and it's going to be a hard sell. Everyone that has been part of the Robert Stone brand has either left or completely sucked.
Yeah.
And he's not done anything to enhance those characters.
No, he has.
But just by standing next to Von Wagner looks like a threat now. Because he's got someone that can talk, who can guide him and do whatever, whatnot. But we glossed over a very important part. So the guy from last week that just came back from injury, his father died.
Oh.
And he was coming out here to have his return match. And this guy came and jumped and beat him or whatever, whatnot. He came out on the mic and said to him, I'm going to have just a little bit of respect for you. And I'm going to say this. I'm coming. And drop the mic and rush the ring. And they start fighting. And then the big monster came in and destroyed him. What do you see when you see Von Wagner and Robert Stone and just people laid out? What are your thoughts and hopes for this whole segment that we just saw?
I hope that, you know, as much as it's the Robert Stone brand, he can talk and he can direct, like you said, but I think it will give Wagner more time to learn the craft of promo and stuff like that, because they just threw him out there as a monster just to destroy stuff, and him being on the mic and stuff like that. But if he can actually be controlled. So I think that is kind of like, I'm going to use this as a comparison. I think he's like the corporate Kane, where Kane can just destroy everything, even though Kane could talk, but like he had like guidance towards it. Yeah.
But let's think about this for a second while we're uncorking this. Okay. Let's think about this for a second. Joe Gacy. Tim's right. Have him and Joe Gacy's guy.
Ian Harlan.
Bear Swin? So that's the same gimmick they're doing with Harlan.
Yeah.
Harlan sucks. Okay. This is the guy that went on Twitter. This is the guy that went on Twitter and gave himself a nickname, the Destroyer of Gods.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
After not having any professional wrestling matches, he gave himself the nickname, the Destroyer of Gods. First and foremost, you don't give yourself a nickname.
No.
No one gives himself a nickname.
No,
I'm sorry. My buddy gave me the nickname Throwback, but I adopted it. Someone gave it to you.
You didn't wake up one morning and say, you know what?
I'm going to call myself Throwback.
Start a podcast channel. I'm going to call myself Throwback. You know why? I'm not going to talk about old wrestling. I'm just going to talk about stuff that's happening today, but I'm going to call myself Throwback. Like, No, you don't do that. I didn't call myself a franchise player. I became a franchise. I became that. You don't just go on Twitter and say, I'm going to name myself the Destroyer of Gods.
I will wake up one morning and call myself the Destroyer of Gods. I'm like, who are you?
I mean, that's some Call of Duty shit. I'm going to call myself the Destroyer
of Campers. The most overrated meta game in history.
I'm going to call myself Jason. Why? Because I kill all the campers.
Yeah.
Like,
campers suck.
Anyway, I honestly think that there might be something to this Von Wagner gimmick let him be Wayne Bloom or Kyle Bloom. Don't let him be Von Wagner. Because Von Wagner sounds like he should be teaming with Imperium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really does. But wasn't Cal he Bloom. On
Kyle Bloom. The WWE comes up with these stupid names. And I don't honestly think that they actually pay attention to these names. Because these names should go with the person that they're suited for.
I wonder if they were naming Rob Breaker and then they were just like, wait a minute. Von Wagner, that's who we should name the other guy. You know, just
it's like they just took a bunch of names and threw them in a hat and just pulled them out. Like, oh, we can come Von. Let me get another Wagner. There we go, Von Wagner.
Yeah.
But the difference is, didn't Bron Breakker pick his name because that was his nickname in high school?
Okay,
no.
So let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. We all know that WWE does not let you pick your names.
No.
Anyone that I know that's ever worked in WWE, what they tell me is this. You get literally a list of names, and then you pick one, and they'll pick one, and you can decide which one they decide which one fits you best. That's the way it works. You're not gonna come out of football, never trained a day of wrestling in your life, walk up to Vince McMahon and say, I'm gonna call myself Bron Breakker. Vince is gonna be like,
You know, pal. I tell you, pal. I run this, pal. And I will call you fucking Doink the Clown if I want to, pal. As a matter of fact, yeah, you're a fucking clown. You're now Doink the Clown.
That's what he did. He did that to Matt Bourne. Yeah. Matt Bourne.
What?
Matt told me the story of how he got the Doink the Clown name. He said that Vince thought he was backstage acting like a clown. And Vince came up to him and said, yeah, we're going to name you. You're acting like a fucking clown, so I'm going to call you a clown. Yeah, you know, you look like some doink. Yeah, you're Doink the Clown. That's your name, Doink the Clown.
Wow.
So if Matt Bourne, a legend in his business, couldn't pick his own fucking name, do you think some kid, because his dad's Rick Steiner and his uncle is Scott Steiner, is going to walk to Vince McMahon and tell you, yeah, man, my name is Bron Breakker, whether you like it or not?
He was actually going to be called Rex Steiner, but then they changed it to Rob Breaker.
So, I mean, it is what it is. A match that I was really interested in, though. And after Carmelo Hayes and his boy brought this rapper to do a 15-minute set in the middle of the show that no one cared about. I thought it was kind of cool how they kept flashing like other wrestlers during her concert. You know, they made like a video to her music. And it was like Tony D'Angelo. And then it was
Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes versus Carmelo. Cameron Grimes versus, Tony D'Angelo with Carmelo Hayes's with his North American Championship number one contenders, not a championship contenders match, but a number one contenders match for that championship. That match.
Wait, did I just hear number one contenders and not championship contenders?
Yeah. That match was awesome. Okay, those two guys worked really well together, and then out of nowhere, Pete Dunne. With what did he have a cricket? Cricket mallet?
Cricket mallet?
Yeah, pretty much. It almost looked like those Greek paddles. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The ones where they freaking initiated for hazing.
Yeah, for frat paddles. I have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did look like that, but it was like that's something they use as like cricket or bocce ball or some weird shit they do over in England.
Cricket. Cricket. It's a cricket.
So he whacks the hell out of
you
out
hear of, that thud really bro, loud too.
I so really gotta watch that.
He hit him so hard, I felt it. And you know, and Cameron Grimes ends up winning the match.
Cameron Grimes,
I'm gonna tell you
the shenanigans.
Cameron Grimes is not only funny on the mic, but he's the whole Trevor Lee gimmick did not work for him.
But is this Cameron Grimes gimmick working?
He is so over. He is so
I can
over.
Really see him being like really over in the main roster, hopefully. And not
keep him where he is, dude.
Yeah.
Do not ruin him. No.
Do not ruin him.
That's why I said hope. That's why I said hopefully.
Leave him NXT 2.0 because
his
gimmick is so over. Like, be it face or heel, people are still like, to the moon. They love that. Like, that gets him over. One good catchphrase, and he's such a great wrestler. I'm predicting that he's going to be the next NXT North American champion.
Yeah, no, that's no doubt. Also, after this whole thing, they set up the match for next week. They gave you the card for the most part, Raquel versus Kara Jade, which...
Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
That's my next gripe. That's my next really gripe.
He franchises Peter Griffin of BodySlam.net. That really grinds his gears.
It does, man. Because she's the plucky little upstart. And Raquel is like, she's working out. She's in the gym, you know, because she's super big back, or she's a Big Mama Sexy. You know, that's her name, Big Mama Sexy or whatever, because she's the female Kevin Nash. So obviously Kara Jade is the female Shawn Michaels of this little group. And Kara Jade is like, we should be partners. We should be partners. We should be partners. And she's like, well, I'm thinking about Dakota Kai. Why?
Dakota Kai.
You just had a feud, or she cost you your NXT championship, and now you're telling me you're thinking about teaming with her again?
I feel like it was more an excuse than actually wanting to team with her.
No, so that's the point. The point is, look, Shane, you and I are a tag team. I can't stand your guts. Throwback is asking me to be his partner, but me and Throwback have had a feud for like 6 months. Like, we set each other on fire, ran each other with cars. I stole his wife. He stole my dog. You know what I'm saying? We did all of this shit, right? We did all of this stuff.
That sounds very chaotic.
But think about it. We just did all of this hateful stuff to each other. I framed him for murder. Like, all of this shit. So he comes up to me and says, hey, man, you want to be my partner? I just tried to kill you.
I totally forgot what we were fighting about. So
How do you forget? We were just doing it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We're not on the main roster. We actually have stories here.
Well, next week, we got El Gato de Fantasma versus Ciampa and Breaker, which is going to be interesting.
Wait, what? Ciampa? Breaker?
Ciampa?
What?
Yep. Ciampa stood right next to him at the end of the show when El Gato de Fantasma going to show. So that match is probably going to happen even next week or the week after, but I'm more excited for Diamond Mine versus Imperium. Like, let's go.
Okay, we had that six-man match already, and...
No, we had Strong and... I don't want to call him Gunther. He's going to be Walter. This six-man tag with these guys, let's go. Let's see how Macklin Bivens talking crap about Gunther all week.
So, somebody better go to his Twitter account right now. He's probably blasting Gunther right now, calling him Gunther McGillicuddy or McGillibuddy or whatever.
Guy from Friends who always tries to get Rachel but never succeeds.
So funny. Walter, Gunther, Walter, Gunther, Walter, Gunther. But you got Cora J going to slap Big Mama Sexy Raquel Gonzalez, and she grabs her hands and she goes, No, Chiquita.
Raquel Gonzalez.
Right? So we already know they're gonna be a tag team. Because the seeds have been planted, and she's like, I'm gonna make her my partner. You just watch. Next week, Cora Jade versus Raquel Gonzalez. I guarantee you, Cora Jade wins the match.
Mm-hmm.
And picks Cora her up.
Jade's going to tell her, if I win the match, you have to be my partner. And she's going to win the match and become her partner. I can see the booking. I can see the writing is spray painting on the wall. That's going to be your Dusty Classic team right there.
Yeah.
And they might win.
Hey, mixed match teams always win the Dusty Classics.
It's true. Well, MSK, they're an actual tag team, but you know, we'll go with that. So then the main event match was pretty wild. They listed up the card for the next week. On a scale of 1 to 10, throwback, rate this show. 10 being the greatest, 1 being NXT.
At last week's match for me was probably about a 9. This one was probably 2 steps back, maybe a 7 or 6. And the main reason why last week's show was a lot better is because the hype with Roderick, and I'm just gonna, like I said, I can't do it. With Walter was beyond amazing, and that match delivered everything else. I think. And that is an early runner, even though it's the 25th of January in 2022. I think that might be an early contender, even though we still got a long time to go for match of the year in WWE standards. So, this was probably a 6 or a 7. It could have been better. The match with Grimes and D'Angelo lived up to the hype, but the MSK, New Jacket match kind of helped out, made it a lot more efficient. But I'm more excited that they set up some matches and stuff. That concert was a botch, dude. Let's be honest, man. It was just like, it's like a boat sailing across and the person trying to like say the words but read it in their own head and stuff, and it doesn't make any sense. So
one reason why I didn't even watch NXT.
So I think this was probably a 6 or 7. Next week, hype wise, I think this is probably going to be an 8, close to a 9, because if the first meeting between Walter and Strong is anything, and you just add, the Creed brothers and the rest of Imperium, this match is going to be extremely physical.
Yes.
I wish they would give them a lot more longer. Even though, like I said, we saw glimpses of it, I just wouldn't mind seeing these guys just go. Give me Imperium versus the Creed brothers and just let them just go.
Go at it. Duke it out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Fabian Aichner made me an Imperium fan.
Hey, I was already.
I'm here for it. I mean, they were good. They were good. But that showing up and showing out that one match, I'm here. I'm here for them, bro. Any match that they're in, they can wrestle 2 brooms. And it's going to be a classic. I'm
telling you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm just saying. I give the show.
You were pretty high with me, like me last week, so
I was excited for this week. Like I really was excited for this week. And the MSK Jackie Time match was good. The Pete Dunne interference in the Cameron Grimes Tony D'Angelo match kind of ruined it a little bit for me, because they were actually having a really good match. So all in all, I'll give this show a high 5.
Mm-hmm.
High 5.
And the reason I say a high 5 and not a low 5 is because Wendy Chu is funny.
Yeah.
That's what made
mine from like a 5 thing. To a 6 and maybe a low 7, but that's
she that's saved that segment. It. You know, Tiffany Stratton, she has the look of a Barbie wrestler. She has the ability of a surprisingly very good wrestler. But the daddy's thing, the whole whining, the share from Clueless,
it's weird.
It's so over and played out.
Yes,
that it's not even annoying.
It's a waste of time.
And her gimmick is supposed to be annoying.
It really is
annoying. It's sad. it's like really, it's really lazy writing. So you can see the Triple H influence gone from NXT.
And he's like,
and you can see the Bruce Prichard, John Laurinaitis influence.
Mm-hmm. People power. You know,
the Toxic Attraction 6-man tag team match. Mandy should not be, she should not be NXT champion. Like, yeah, Mandy's hot. She has all the physical attributes of like a sex symbol. But if you look at the way they market NXT 2.0, it's all about sex. They got some very attractive women. They got some good looking dudes. And all they do is they push the, oh, Mandy is so hot. Oh, look at the chiseled, and chiseled chest of Braun Breaker.
Oh, they, so they talk about their wrestling over there.
They don't talk about their wrestling ability. You know, JC Jane is fucking awesome. But they push more of the sexuality on those girls as opposed to their in-ring ability. They're sexualizing the women's division instead of making it about wrestling. So back again is the Divas title, the Diva division. This that NXT Women's Championship should just be the fucking butterfly belt.
Ew. No.
I mean, honestly, Mandy's cutting promos in her swimming pool in her bikini.
Yep.
Holding the championship belt in the swimming pool.
Back to the Attitude Era. That's it's old men reliving their own freaking things.
It's John Laurinaitis like, hey, I want to see some girls in their underwear in the pool. Give them a belt. Let them just do a promo there.
You sound
photo shoots backstage.
You sound like one of those old timer Muppets.
That was the whole point.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sexualizing the women in this industry again. Some of these women can. I mean, some of these women can actually wrestle.
Yes.
Some of them are better than some of the men.
Yeah.
Give them an opportunity to show it. I'm just saying, give them an opportunity to show it. Kaylee Ray, she doesn't come across as a sex symbol, but she does come across as someone that'll punch your fucking your lights out. I like that. But they're not even letting her do that. You know? Just this show has a lot of room for improvement. And I think that when you have matches like Braun Breaker versus Santos Escobar, that could be a needle mover.
Yes.
When you have matches like MSK versus Grizzly Young Vets, that match never really took place for the title. Like, we've been waiting to see Grizzled Young Vets challenge for the tag team title.
Grizzled Young Vets.
Yeah, they haven't even got a shot.
Yeah, you've been throwing them at other people. Yeah, Grizzled Young Vets. They're fucking phenomenal.
Yes, they are.
MSK, phenomenal. Jacket Time. Yes. If you just stop the stupid stereotype for Jacket Time,
it'll be great.
Kushida is one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yes, he is.
It's over.
You know, Ikka Majiro is, he's really good. Really good. Let them wrestle. That's my my parting words for NXT 2.0 podcast is this. Let them wrestle.
Let them go.
Triple H, all he did was say, hey, you know what? Go out there and show them why you're the best.
Exactly.
I wouldn't watch Raw or SmackDown. I watched NXT with Gargano and Ciampa, with FTR, with fucking...
Oh, man. Even those were the glorious days.
Even with the Connor and Victor, the Ascension.
They were over as heck. Look what happened to them.
With Tyler Breeze and Fandango.
Oh yeah, Prince Pretty gimmick was over. Like,
dude, that was NXT.
Yes, it was.
That was
Sami Zayn versus Nakamura at TakeOver.
Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. That was NXT.
Yeah, Bayley versus Sasha.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Bayley versus Sasha. Oh my God, yes.
Now
give me Bayley versus Sasha NXT versus Bayley versus Sasha on the main roster.
Exactly. I don't understand why they can't like fight the same style on the main roster as they did in NXT. Makes no sense.
NXT 2.0 sucks.
Sorry,
NXT 1.0 was where legends were made.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So reality gaming opinion, NXT, not so much.
I still enjoy watching it. So I mean, that's me.
I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna leave it alone. Triple H,
We miss you.
People say so much bad stuff about Triple H. Well, say what you will about Triple H, but he does have a great mind for wrestling.
Yes, he does.
A great mind. He showed us
with Golden Black NXT.
He took
New Hampshire boys literally freaking are the smart as a whip.
Yep.
Present company included, right? Mm-hmm. he took NXT. No, let me rephrase that. Him and Dusty Rhodes, Dean Malenko, and a few others, Jerry Land, Ryan Katz,
William Regal,
they took this small group of kids from Florida Championship Wrestling.
That was great.
Tyler Black created the NXT brand and said, you know what? Let them wrestle.
And you know what's funny? That wasn't the last FCW match with Mox, Roman, and Seth.
Look at all the names that came from that roster.
Look where I watched a handful of that show, and one of the rumors was they were going to put that show on the network when the network was around. I was going to watch.
If they would have put that NXT on the network, yes, I would have been there for that. I love watching that.
Oh my god!
Now,
Peacock.
I will say this, and I'm gonna leave it alone. I love this brand the way it was. Vince McMahon, please stop changing the brand every week. Triple H,
stop changing wrestlers' names, please.
Wherever you are, I implore you, please come back and save your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vince is kicking the baby.
Wow.
And with that being said, Throwback, tell the fans where they can find you every week.
You can find me here. Probably right here. With that dude right there sometimes.
Yeah, this guy.
Every Tuesday night here doing the post show for Roundtable Podcast /BodySlam.net. Go get your slam chats, getting all that stuff going. And then every Thursday night, Wicked Crazy Pinfalls, YouTube.com/Throwback27 and on the Twitch, you know, just look up Throwback978. Right there, as it says right here. And that's also the Twitter handle. We got a lot of crazy people coming by. We're going to even try to throw our predictions out there and see if they stick. But going to work on some stuff. And since we're going to be snowed in, maybe have this right next to me so I can tease a few people along the way. We are getting closer. We are getting closer to affiliation for Twitch. We need 4 more people to subscribe and help that algorithm for this one too. You know, we got great people who are great writers and stuff like that. You know, Cassidy works really hard and everything. So, you know, support the brand, support both of us. I mean, it goes a long way. You know, comment, like, and subscribe and tap the bell for notifications. Do the same thing with the Wicked Crazy Pinfalls. Also, you might find out the Wicked Crazy Crew channel. It's not really being used that much, but it will be picking up eventually with some highlights from these tournaments. So, as I say at the end of every Wicked Crazy Pinfalls, do a good deed, pay it forward.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It is so easy to follow him on Twitch. Get on the Twitch right now and follow him.
You should also follow me on Twitch too while you're at it.
Well, Shane, give me a second. Hold on a second. we'll get to you. What is your Twitch channel, sir? Mr. Throwback. What is your Twitch channel again?
Throwback978. It's the tag handle right there.
Well, sure is. And guess what? Go follow Throwback right now, ladies and gentlemen. I just did it. It's easy. All he needs is 3 more people. That is 3 more people. All he needs is 3. 1, 2, 3. Just like a referee in a wrestling match. 1, 2, 3. Oh, look who it is. It's my best friend. Big Money Drew.
And look,
Big Money Drew. Big Money Drew says, it's going to be a very interesting Wicked Crazy Pinfalls this week. You know why? Because he's about to join the champions. He's about to join the COCKs, Coalition of Championship Kings.
What's that saying that El Gato de Fantasma says? Family is more stronger than money.
Hey, family may be stronger than money, but a Coalition of Championship Kings, the COCKs,
Oh my god.
Coalition of Championship Kings.
Well, let's just say this much. Whatever, like I said last week when we went over, whatever Drew decides, he's a good friend. And I, whatever, which way he goes, whether he goes with you guys or stays with the Wicked Crazy Crew for this, I support him 100%.
Join the winning side. Join the winning side.
Drew, do it. I'm going to say this right here on the podcast.
You want to be with a winner? Be on this team.
If you play roulette, always bet on black. Just saying. Big Money Drew wants to be Bigger Money Drew. He knows where to go. He knows. So, Mr. Shane Husky, where can they find you, my friend?
Well, they can also find me on the Twitch of Husky double underscore 518, where I am so very close to double affiliate.
So let's go do this. Let's go find Husky. Okay. Double underscore.
And there's a story behind that. Why is double?
What's okay? Double underscore what?
518.
518. Look, ladies and gentlemen, it's so easy to follow Shane. All you gotta do. Click that follow button. Now I'm following Mr. Shane Husky 518. And this dude is playing Uncharted 2 Part 4. Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm on down the crushing difficulty. And like I said earlier today, oh my gosh, it is very stressful. I tell you that.
Wait, hold on. Drew says, I'll be putting out a video tomorrow. Keep your eyes and ears open for that throwback. Ooh. It's directed at you.
Ooh, shots fired.
Drew.
Throwback is like what?
Drew knows.
All I gotta say is that, like I said, at the end of the day, whatever Drew decides, and I've told him straight out, if he decides to go with the champions or stay with family, I'll support it 100% because that's what real good-hearted people do.
Listen, Throwback, this is not Fast and Furious, okay? You're not Vin Diesel.
I'm far from it. I'm Irish.
I'm far from
All that whole family is everything. Family will stab you in the back. But a COCKS, a championship, a champion of champion, coalition of champions, kings.
Kings.
We run this. COCK is for life.
Yeah.
And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on the NXT 2.0 review. For your boy Throwback, for Shane Husky, this has been your boy, the franchise, the predictions champion, signing off.